Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 6, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Fed officials say the expectation for rate cuts next year is misplaced.
The U.S. slams OPEC's decision to curb production.
Elon Musk may have wanted to slash his takeover price for Twitter.
And hundreds of billions of dollars in market value have been wiped away in the first month of Liz Truss's government.
New York City council members are calling for housing asylum seekers in hotels and churches instead of Randall's Island, plus more missile launches from North Korea. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The baseball regular season ended. The Yankees lost. The Mets won. They begin the postseason tomorrow night.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And U.S. futures are lower this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 25 points, Dow futures down 178, and NASDAQ futures are down 81. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 3.76%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the drop in futures follows a late-day comeback on Wall Street yesterday. It fell as much as 1.8%, but ended the session for the S&P 500 down 0.2%, fueled by a big options trade. Aaron Kennan, CEO at Clear Harbor Asset Management, says a drop in earnings is not being priced in yet.
I think a very shallow recession, I would argue, is probably priced in. But if we are seeing some sort of double-digit decline in, let's say, S&P 500 earnings next year, that's probably not yet priced into the market.
Aaron Kennan at Clear Harbor Asset Management says tomorrow's jobs report will be a key indicator for the path ahead.
Well, Nathan, Federal Reserve officials are repeating the mantra that they don't plan to cut interest rates next year. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly and Atlanta Fed Chief Raphael Bostic are the latest to bang the drum on the need to keep tightening. We spoke yesterday with Daly.
I see us as raising to a level that we believe is restrictive enough to bring inflation down and then holding it there until we see inflation truly get close to 2% and demonstrate that price stability is restored.
Mary Daly's comments are being echoed by Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic, who says rates still need to go much higher.
I'd like to reach a point where policy is moderately restrictive, somewhere between 4 and 4.5% by the end of this year, and then hold at that level and see how the economy and prices react.
Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic says there are encouraging signs on inflation, but he still sees the overall picture as challenging.
Let's turn to oil now, Karen, where a production cut by OPEC is making waves. Prices are currently steady a day after OPEC agreed to the biggest production cut since 2020. The alliance plans to slash daily output by 2 million barrels. Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman spoke with us in Vienna.
I don't want people to think that this is a one-way street. In this case, no. It's a variety of convoluting uncertainties, and they could go astray altogether, and to the positive side or to the negative side, or it could be a combination.
Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman says the U.S.-led initiative to slap a price cap on Russian oil is adding to market uncertainty. Checking prices now, they've moved a tick lower now with NYMEX crude down 0.1% or 10 cents at $87.67 a barrel. Brent is little changed, down 6 cents at $93.31.
Well, the White House is pushing back against OPEC's decision to curb production, Nathan, calling the move unnecessary and short-sighted. We discussed the matter with National Economic Council Director Brian Deese.
As the president mentioned, we think it's unnecessary if you look at the global environment where supply continues to be the predominant challenge. We've been working for some time to take action and encourage action globally to make sure that supply actually matches demand.
White House Economic Advisor Brian Deese said the U.S. will release 10 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve this month. He's also calling on gasoline companies to close the gap between wholesale and retail prices at the pump.
Let's turn to the UK now, Karen, where political turmoil is still weighing on investor sentiment. Hundreds of billions of dollars have been wiped from the nation's stock and bond markets in the first month of Liz Truss's government. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. $340 billion. That's the total knocked off the value of UK stocks and bonds over the past month. While assets globally have been roiled by central bank tightening, confidence in the UK has taken a real battering. The September sell-off on the new government's unfunded tax cuts saw the pound hit a record low against the dollar, intervention by the Bank of England, and a swift climb down by the Chancellor. One strategist, though, says some investors currently consider the UK as uninvestable. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Back here in the U.S., we're learning more about the details behind Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter. Turns out he was pushing for a lower price behind the scenes, and we get the details from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
Sources say Musk's representatives and Twitter held talks in the past few weeks about a buyout for less than $54.20 a share, but they didn't go anywhere. The New York Times reported Musk had sought a 30% reduction in the price. This week, Musk said in a letter to Twitter that he would be willing to complete the deal for the original price. In another development, the two sides agreed to postpone the billionaire's long-awaited deposition today in the company's lawsuit aimed at forcing him to go through with a $44 billion buyout. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Lisa. We have word of more corporate job cuts this morning. General Electric is slashing positions at its onshore wind turbine manufacturing business. Bloomberg News has learned GE will reduce its U.S. onshore wind workforce by 20%. That's hundreds of jobs. The move's designed to counter mounting losses at its renewable energy unit.
And finally, news on the pandemic this morning, Nathan. American Express ending a requirement that employees need to be vaccinated against COVID-19 to enter the office. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
This takes effect November 1st, and it applies to offices across the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, all according to an internal memo to staff seen by Bloomberg. The New York-based credit card company has been one of the few financial firms to embrace remote work in the aftermath of the pandemic. In New York, Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. Futures are moving lower now. S&P futures down 26 points. Dow futures down 171. NASDAQ futures are lower by 84 points. And the 10-year Treasury is down 5/32, yield 3.77%. Local headlines and a check of sports up next. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, we're 54 degrees in Central Park. Still got that overturned tractor trailer on the northbound New Jersey Turnpike on ramp from Route 18. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City Council members are proposing housing asylum seekers in hotels and churches. The ideas from last night's council meeting come after Mayor Eric Adams now wants to house migrants in a tent city at Randall's Island. Mayor Adams scrapped the original idea of having the Migrant Relief Center in Orchard Beach after opposition from both sides of the debate. However, critics say the new Randall's Island location will still have the same problems, including access for migrants to get jobs, health care, and schools. President Biden will be in New York State today. He will visit a jobs event at an IBM campus in Poughkeepsie. IBM will announce plans to invest $20 billion over the next decade to the campus. The president will also attend a Democratic fundraiser in New Jersey. Yesterday, President Biden visited Southwest Florida, pledging support for storm victims who lost everything to Hurricane Ian.
I promise you we're going to be with you every step of the way. The people of Florida, to all of you, we're in this together.
The president got a warm welcome from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Mr. President, welcome to Florida. We appreciate working together across various levels of government.
Biden said he and DeSantis have put politics aside, focused on the storm, and have been in complete lockstep. More than 30 people, primarily children, were killed today when a gunman opened fire in a child care center in northeastern Thailand. Authorities said the gunman took his own life. It's a tragic discovery and a horrific crime. Four family members kidnapped from a business in Central California have been found dead. Merced County Sheriff Vernon Warnker said last night that one suspect is hospitalized after trying to kill himself, but there may be other suspects.
I'm just livid inside because this was completely and totally senseless. We have a whole family wiped out. And for what? We don't know yet.
Authorities have released surveillance video of a man kidnapping a baby, the child's mother, father, and uncle on Monday. North Korea fired two suspected short-range ballistic missiles today toward waters where a U.S. aircraft carrier had been deployed, ratcheting up tensions in the region. It came shortly after North Korea condemned the Biden administration for redeploying the USS Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier to waters east of the peninsula. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, the baseball regular season is over. The Dodgers won 111 games, the most of the National League since the 1906 Cubs. The Mets and Braves both won 101, finished tied for first, but Atlanta won the season series 10-9. And that's why the Braves had a first-round bye, and the Mets have to play a best-of-three wild-card series with San Diego. All the games at Citi Field, the opener's tomorrow night with a terrific pitching matchup. It'll be Max Scherzer against the Padres. Yu Darvish. Mets finished up beating Washington 9-2. Jeff McNeil got the day off, and he was able to just barely hold off Freddie Freeman and win the National League batting title. McNeil hit .326. He hit .249 last season.
You know, kind of hard work and, you know, trying to get back to, you know, the player I knew I could be, you know, after last year. You know, last year wasn't a great year for me, so, you know, kind of wanted to, you know, get back to, you know, who I am and, you know, was lucky enough to be rewarded for that.
Aaron Judge didn't play the Yankees' season-ending 4-2 loss at Texas. Did not win the batting title that would have given him the triple crown. Judge finished second to the Twins, Luis Urias. The guy who caught the ball that Judge hit for his record-breaking 62nd home run has already been offered $2 million by a sports memorabilia auction house. At Giants practice before they leave today for London, a welcome sight, the return of center Nick Gates, who in week two last year suffered a fractured leg injury that required 7 surgeries. It was feared that it was going to end Gates' career. It's not known when he'll actually play in a game. Daniel Jones limited in practice with his ankle injury, but Jones has not yet been ruled out for Sunday's game with Green Bay. John Stachow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures are moving lower now, down 0.7% or 26 points. Dow futures are down 176 points. NASDAQ futures lower by 86 points. We'll talk about this market next with Liz Ann Saunders of Charles Schwab. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunshine, low 70s today and tomorrow. Lots of sun on Saturday, but cooler, only near 60 degrees. We'll be in the low 60s in the sunshine by Sunday. Right now, 54 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling as the OPEC Plus alliance's plan to cut oil supply stokes inflation fears. And as traders await labor market data to gauge the risk of recession, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are down 26 points. Dow futures down 172 and NASDAQ futures down 87. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury down 0.3%. Yield 3.76% and the yield on the 2-year 4.16%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 12 cents at $87.64 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1% or $2.30 at $17.23.10 an ounce. The euro 0.9882 against the dollar, British pound 1.1255, and the yen at 144.72. In Bitcoin this morning, it's up 0.7% at $20,125. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. More than 30 people, primarily children, were killed today when a gunman opened fire in a child care center in northeastern Thailand. Authorities said the attacker later took his own life. President Biden visited Florida yesterday to offer support for the victims of Hurricane Ian. The president told victims that we are with you every step of the way. In baseball, on the last day of the regular season, the Yankees lost. The Mets won over the Nationals 9-2. The Red Sox lost. The Orioles split a doubleheader with the Blue Jays. The Giants and A's won.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now by Liz Ann Saunders, Chief Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab, as we watch futures take another leg lower this morning. We started this quarter off so well, Liz Ann, but it looks perhaps like investor sentiment is back to where it started, or is that taking it too far?
If you're actually talking about sentiment indicators, they don't quite swing as wildly on a day-to-day basis as right. you see the market. I think it's just the nature of the beast. When you have a significant two-day move like that, the last four times we had back-to-back 2.5% plus up days were all in the fall into the winter of 2008. And so to see a bit of a reprieve, in that case, you had, unfortunately, still double-digit declines left ahead of you before you hit the March 09 bottom. And I'm not suggesting that we're repeating that, but to have some profit-taking kick in after such a strong two-day move is not surprising, especially in this type of market.
Yeah. I'll talk a little bit more about this type of market. What's predominating? I mean, we've heard particularly from the Federal Reserve officials continuing to bang the drum about higher for longer interest rates. Is that the main focus for you?
It is, but you also see the equity market moving somewhat in inverse lockstep with what bond yields are doing. So even going back to the mid-June low and the rally between mid-June and mid-August had a lot to do with what was happening in bond yields. And I think more recently, too, you had a reprieve both in bond yields and the dollar that I think was called the fundamental setup for the two-day rally that we have. So yes, I think it's rates and Fed policy that are in the driver's seat in terms of market behavior.
Do you see any further moves in bond yields given the message we're hearing from the Fed?
We're of the view that at least the recent move on an intraday basis up to a little north of 4% on the 10-year and that there's probably not a lot more upside beyond that. And we are not definitively of the view that the Fed may be able to at least lower the pace of rate hikes sooner maybe than some of the pessimists. This is distinct from a pivot. I think the notion of a pivot, to the extent that you define that as a shift from rate hikes to rate cuts, I think the Fed has appropriately tried to push way back on that notion, and that certainly sat behind the mid-June to mid-August rally. But they may not have to go to the mid-4% range, which is what the latest projections and dot plots showed. I think you're at about a 65% likelihood of a 75 basis point hike in November, but I wouldn't surprise if they started to telegraph maybe lower hikes, meaning 50, 25, even if we get 75 in November.
Interesting you say that, because we just heard from Raphael Bostic from the Atlanta Fed yesterday saying that he'd be okay with 4 to 4.5%. I mean, he put the 4.5% number out there.
So that's one Fed speaker, and that's the stance I think that many of them have right now. We just think with the leading indicators of inflation in many cases having significantly rolled over. You saw it in both ISM manufacturing and ISM services prices paid. This is leaving aside oil, obviously, given the recent news there, that there may be a point at which the Fed can just lift its foot off the brake. I also think, though, importantly, as they really have been emphasizing, whenever they get to their destination, whether it's 4.25, 4.5, 4.75, they're going to stay there for a while, that this isn't going to be a 180 to rate cuts, other than if the economic deterioration that they're actually trying to engineer here a bit in order to bring inflation down sustainably, or financial instability really kicking in, I think the Fed gets to their destination and they stay a while.
Just about 30 seconds left here. Do you think tomorrow's jobs report helps the Fed get to that destination?
Depends on what it is.
Sure.
I think some of the labor market data, not least being the huge drop in job openings, which is something they've specifically cited as what they want to see some contraction in. But they would ideally love it to happen exclusive of a significant increase in the unemployment rate or significant deterioration in payrolls. I think a hotter than expected number from a stock market perspective is probably not a good thing.
Thanks, as always, Lizanne. Great getting your thoughts. Lizanne Saunders, Chief Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab, with us this morning. As we watch futures move lower now, S&P futures are down 26 points, Dow futures down 175, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 86 points. 10-year Treasuries down 4/32 for a yield of 3.77%. NYMEX crude moving a bit lower now, down 0.2% or 14 cents at $87.62 a barrel. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunshine, low 70s today and tomorrow. We're going to keep it sunny for the weekend, but it's going to be cooler. Only around 60 for Saturday, low 60s for Sunday, 54 right now in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers clients earn interest of up to 2.58% on the idle cash in their brokerage accounts. That's just one of the many reasons clients use Interactive Brokers to trade stocks, options, futures, currencies, bonds, funds, crypto, and more. Visit IBKR.com/interest rates to learn more. Up first, U.S. futures are lower this morning, and that's after stocks snapped a two-day winning streak yesterday. Mainstay Capital Management founder David Kundla says, right now, it's time to be defensive.
The classic 60-40 portfolio that's down more than 20% this year. Liquid alternatives that offer an opportunity for a positive return because of the strategies of shorting stocks actually generate positive returns.
David Kudla with Mainstay Capital says it's wishful thinking to believe that rate hikes will bring down inflation anytime soon.
Well, still, Karen, Fed officials keep banging the drum for tighter policy, insisting they do not plan to cut rates next year. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly spoke with Bloomberg yesterday.
It's also very damaging to the economy to have this level of inflation, so we're committed to bringing it down and staying the course until we're well and truly done.
Mary Daly's comments about inflation are being echoed by Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic. He says rates still need to go higher.
Meantime, Nathan, the price of oil is holding steady after OPEC agreed to slash daily output by 2 million barrels. Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman says he sat down with us in Vienna and says the move does not necessarily mean the market should price in more cuts in the future.
We wanted to give the market a clear direction, a clear input. That's why we extended the agreement to end of 23. But we still have the same tools in our kit. Guidance to the market is crucial.
Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman says the U.S.-led initiative to slap a price cap on Russian oil is adding uncertainty to the market. And checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil down about a tenth of a percent now. It's at $87.63 a barrel. Brent also down about the same at $93.22.
Well, the Biden administration's calling OPEC's move unnecessary and short-sighted, saying it aligns OPEC with Russia. In response, economic advisor Brian Deese says the U.S. will release 10 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve this month.
And in corporate news this morning, Nathan, it turns out billionaire Elon Musk was reportedly pushing to buy Twitter for a lower price than previously agreed upon. He'll now go through with the deal on its original terms. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 54 degrees in Central Park. Still got that mess on the northbound New Jersey Turnpike on-ramp from Route 18 in East Brunswick. We'll tell you more in traffic. First, Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Late word, South Korea says 12 North Korean warplanes have flown near their border, prompting it to launch warplanes in response. This after North Korea launched two ballistic missiles into its eastern waters today. It comes after the U.S. redeployed an aircraft carrier in response to the North's launch Tuesday of a nuclear-capable missile over Japan. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
We are taking appropriate defense and deterrence steps with allies and partners. We've called for a U.N. Security Council meeting, and we're consulting with our partners on next steps. But I also want to make very clear that our commitment to the defense of our allies and partners, Korea and Japan, is ironclad.
Secretary Blinken spoke in Chile. IBM will announce plans to invest $20 billion over the next decade during a visit by President Joe Biden to the company's campus in Poughkeepsie, New York. President Biden will also be in New Jersey today for a Democratic fundraiser. Yesterday, President Biden was in Florida. President Biden laid out some of the benefits available to storm victims who lost property during Hurricane Ian.
If you don't have insurance, or if you're underinsured, and you found a place to rent, or your car has been destroyed, you're entitled up to $37,900 in federal funds.
Biden received a warm welcome from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who has clashed in the past with the Biden administration. New York City council members are proposing housing asylum seekers in hotels and churches. The ideas from last night's council meeting come after Mayor Eric Adams now wants to house migrants in a tent city at Randall's Island after scrapping the Orchard Beach location. However, critics say the new Randall's Island location will still have the same problems, including access for migrants to get jobs, health care, and schools. More than 30 people, primarily children, were killed today when a gunman opened fire in a child care center in northeastern Thailand. Authorities say the gunman took his own life. A Connecticut jury is expected to hear closing arguments today in a trial to determine how much InfoWars host Alex Jones should pay for persuading his audience that the 2012 shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School was a hoax to impose more gun control laws. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshower.
All right, Nathan, the baseball regular season is over. The new playoff format has 12 teams, the most ever. It includes the Phillies, who had not been to the postseason since 2011, and the Mariners, who hadn't gone since 2001. It also includes the Yankees and Mets. Yanks won 99 games. They went just 42-32 after the All-Star break. They lost the finale at Texas 4-2. They'll now await the winner of the wild card series between Cleveland and Tampa Bay. The Mets won 101 games, but because they got swept in Atlanta last weekend, they have to play a wild card series against San Diego. The opener to the best of three is tomorrow night at Citi Field with Max Scherzer opposing the Padres, Yu Darvish. Mets finished up with a 9-2 win over Washington. James McCann hit a three-run homer. Francisco Lindor a three-run double. Jeff McNeil did not play. Finished with a 326 average. That won McNeil the National League batting title. He hit just 249 a year ago. The Royals fired manager Mike Matheny. The Angels announced Phil Nevin, who took over when Joe Maddon was fired, will return next season. Week 5 NFL begins with Colts and Broncos tonight in Denver. The Giants leave today for London to play the Packers Sunday at Tottenham Stadium. Still in Jersey yesterday, Giants QB Daniel Jones gave an update on his injured ankle.
One, Sunday's a little bit away, so I think I'll continue to progress throughout the week and see how I feel, but confident in my ability to throw from the pocket, throw outside the pocket, and make plays from both.
But if Jones can't play, it's likely third stringer Davis Webb will start since Tyrod Taylor's in concussion protocol. Webb has never thrown a pass in an NFL regular season game. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta once again watching Twitter as the saga continues with Elon Musk. Kriti?
Yeah, we got to come back to a fan favorite here. TWTR is your ticker, Nathan, down 1.3%. And to your point, the saga does continue. You know, we were talking about this massive litigation battle between Elon Musk and between the folks over at Twitter. Their trial was supposed to start on October 17th. It was something that a lot of the street had said that Twitter would undeniably have the advantage in, just given that the trial was being done in the Delaware Chancery Court. That being said, which tends to favor more of the deals that are already being made, it tends to favor the whoever is being acquisitioned, so in this case Twitter. So Twitter shares are actually down now because in the last couple of days, we've heard stories that Elon Musk is actually looking to bid for Twitter at the offer price of $54.20. The idea here being that their legal team does not think that they have much of a shot when it comes to this trial that's going to unfold. So they're just going to kind of settle in what the original agreement was. But since then, you've had some major players who've actually tried to help Elon Musk get some of that financing, $13 billion of that financing, start to back out. Think Apollo, for example, which was really the leader in helping Elon Musk get that financing. Now the question is, if he is to spend that money or to give the offer price $54.20, you think a $43 billion deal, how is he going to pay for it? And it's those concerns that are now weighing on Twitter shares this morning. TWTR down 1.3%. How's that for Saga, Nathan?
Well done. Of course, we've been keeping so much attention on Twitter, but it looks like analysts are looking at social media more broadly. It's not the only company that they're looking at.
It's not the only company that they're looking at, and this is a really important mover here because the entire market, I should say, is down to the tune of about 0.7%. Pinterest, on the other hand, PINS is up about 4%, jumping after Goldman Sachs basically gave them their stamp of approval. They upgraded the social networking site to a buy from a neutral, saying that they're seeing those improving user growth patterns, better engagement trends, even as the backdrop for digital advertising remains kind of uncertain. And this is going to be crucial because social media companies broadly have always kind of been this, bellwether for a lot of kind of economic indicators. This idea here being that if you believe in the strength of the economy, you're going to spend more on advertising, you're going to spend more trying to get the consumer, and therefore feed into the bottom line of the likes of Pinterest.
Yeah, good to get a macro perspective on some of these individual movers. Thanks as always, Kriti, Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent, Kriti Gupta, watching the early morning trade. Looking at stocks as a whole, they are moving lower. S&P futures are down 25 points. Dow futures down 180. NASDAQ futures are lower by 81 points. And the 10-year treasury is down 4/32nds, yield 3.76%. Let's look at crude once again. Little change, down about a 0.1% on the NYMEX at $87.65 a barrel. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Sunshine for the rest of this week and into the weekend. We'll be in the low 70s today and tomorrow. Low 60s Saturday and Sunday. Right now, 54 degrees and a clear sky in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now. Dow futures down 182 points. S&P's drop 27 and NASDAQ futures drop by 86. The U.S. 10 yield at 3.77%. Gold is little changed. Oil is in the red. And Bitcoin is trading higher by 1%. Shanghai fell 0.5% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims. Regarding earnings, McCormick EPS beat estimates and also look for Constellation Brands to report in the pre-market. Wrapping things up, AutoNation was cut to neutral at J.P. Morgan. Pinterest raised to buy at Goldman Sachs. And Verizon was raised to outperform over at Oppenheimer. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. South Korea says 12 North Korean warplanes have flown near their border, prompting it to launch warplanes in response. It comes after North Korea launched two ballistic missiles into its eastern waters. Pyongyang criticized the U.S. redeployed an aircraft carrier after the North's earlier launch of a nuclear-capable missile over Japan. Authorities say a former police officer killed at least 24 children and 11 adults in a gun and knife attack that began at a child care center in Thailand. The assailant fled the first scene, shooting from his car as he drove home before killing his wife and child and taking his own life. In baseball, on the last day of the regular season, the Yankees lost, the Mets won over the Nationals 9-2, the Red Sox lost, the Orioles split a doubleheader with the Blue Jays, the Giants and A's won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All Karen McElbar, thank you. 649 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, whose NJII unit has joined with pharmaceutical giant Merck to establish the Merck Digital Sciences Studio to support drug discovery and development. More at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. American Express is ending a requirement that employees need to be vaccinated again to enter offices. The decision, which takes effect November 1st, applies to offices across the U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Staffers also will no longer have to be vaccinated to attend company-sponsored in-person events. And, of course, they're talking about vaccinations for COVID-19. IBM will announce plans to invest $20 billion over the next decade during a visit by President Joe Biden to the company's campus in Poughkeepsie, New York. The investments will go toward research and development in the manufacturing of semiconductors, mainframe technology, artificial intelligence, and quantum computing. According to a new study, drought that stretched across three continents this summer, drying out large parts of Europe, the United States, and China, was made 20 times more likely by climate change. Researchers from World Weather Arbitration, a group of scientists from around the world who study the link between extreme weather and climate change, say this type of drought would only happen once every 400 years across the Northern Hemisphere, if not for human-caused climate change. Now they expect these conditions to repeat every 20 years, given how much the climate has warmed. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Thanks, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just about 6:51. On Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden and Governor DeSantis playing nice in Ian ravaged Florida, President facing a new political headache with OPEC's production cut, IBM unveiling that $20 billion investment in New York when the president makes a stop there, and Janet Yellen calling for a World Bank overhaul. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick for more on some of these stories. Jack, good morning. So the president and the governor of Florida managed to bury the hatchet, at least for a bit, yesterday.
Yeah, it was clearly in both of their interests to be seen as being as responsive as possible to the destruction from Hurricane Ian. This went off without too much of a hitch. You could read into the tea leaves of them potentially preparing to face each other in 2024 in the presidential race. But there even was some praise. Biden said he thought that DeSantis had done a good job. They said they'd been working hand in glove together. And the president extended the authorization for full federal assistance on emergency needs. So this largely went off the way you would expect the president to act in any circumstance in which a really destructive hurricane hit any state.
How long can we expect this sort of at least show of cooperation to last? I mean, obviously, they've got a long recovery ahead in Ian, but there's not much time until we have a midterm election, Jack.
Yeah, you know, the recovery from this kind of disaster comes in stages. There's things like getting water bottles to people who don't have access to water, making sure electric lines are repaired and electricity is available throughout the state. Those short-term concerns. And then in the meantime, FEMA assesses the damage and they get into a bit of a rebuilding conversation through grants. Democrats in Congress who still control the House and Senate, and obviously the president is a Democrat, very much make a point of saying we support federal aid for any scenario like this. Sometimes they say that with a bit of a chip on their shoulder because some Republicans, including DeSantis, opposed certain measures after Hurricane Sandy. But there would very likely be clear support in Congress for federal funds, not only for the short-term stuff, but the long-term rebuilding grants. I would not expect that to change at any point in the future.
Now, while the president was on his way to Florida, we got that word from OPEC Plus that they're going to cut production by 2 million barrels a day. Does this have the potential to be the kind of October surprise that this president doesn't want?
It's definitely bad news. I don't know if this would constitute an October surprise in the sense of one single event that really shocks people right before an election. This is the kind of thing that, you know, OPEC production being limited can have somewhat of a delayed effect We'll see exactly how quickly this might lead to an increase in gas prices. It really adds a weight to it, something that's already been an issue. Cost of living is an issue broadly that Republicans are hitting Democrats on in these midterm elections. If gas prices go up, it's not a new issue. It's something that's already been debated that a lot of people have already felt. So it is bad news. It's bad news for the U.S. economy. It's bad news for Democrats, certainly on the campaign trail. It's hard to tell exactly how and when this hits everyday people, but it's not something that Democrats are happy about.
Well, is there anything more that the White House can do besides saying that they're going to put out more from the Strategic Reserve and kind of hammer gasoline companies about the gap between wholesale and retail prices? Is there anything further the White House can do?
I mean, in this case, there have been hints at how they might respond to OPEC countries. You saw Senator Chris Murphy, who's close with the White House, among other lawmakers, raising the issue of U.S. military aid to Saudi Arabia as a point of leverage. That would be a real point of tension if the U.S. tried to open up those negotiations and those talks and cast doubt as to the U.S.'s sort of defense and security relationship with a country like Saudi Arabia. But that would be an option. That would be a heavier option than just releasing more oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That's not something that the White House has commented on, though.
Well, I guess the president's going to try to take the reins on the economic message with this trip to New York and an IBM facility. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, in this case, IBM is going to announce plans to invest $20 billion in the next decade. This is going to happen during a visit today by the president to their campus in Poughkeepsie. This ties in very clearly to the CHIPS Act that was enacted earlier this summer. That is something that the president is going to be touting on the campaign trail. That's one of the big accomplishments that Democrats want people to know about. That's a bit abstract to your everyday people in terms of what semiconductors are and their importance to the economy. But when you hear a significant number like that, a $20 billion investment by IBM, among other companies with similar announcements, that's something that the president's going to want to play up.
And just 30 seconds left here. What's this overhaul at the World Bank that Treasury Secretary Yellen's going to be talking about today?
She is going to make the case that I know some other people have made, that the World Bank is unnecessarily limited in the way it lends, specifically saying that they should move beyond country-specific loans, and that in cases of supporting clean energy projects where the benefit could go beyond the borders of a single country, they should not be quite as limited in focusing on lending to a single country and requiring that country to bear the costs and focus on the benefits of each project. So pushing for the World Bank to take a broader view and lend more as well, especially for clean energy.
Thanks, Jack. Bloomberg Government Congressional Reporter Jack Fitzpatrick with us this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance is up next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.